Please turn your hymnals to hymn number 172. 172. Let us love and sing and wonder. And we'll please stand when we sing. 172. Please be seated. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 5. We'll read the entire chapter. Children, here are your questions for this evening. First, whose idea was marriage between one man and one woman? Two, does God see marriage as something holy? Three, is it important for people to pray that marriages will be protected from harm? Proverbs chapter 5, this is the word of God. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone, not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight, be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cord of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. There ends a reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we thank you that your word speaks to every area of life. And Lord, we thank you for this text, difficult as it is for us to confront it or to be confronted by it. Lord, it is your word and it is holy. And we thank you for your instruction. And so tonight, as we come to your word, we ask that you would speak to us. So help the preacher, help all of us who will hear by sending your Holy Spirit in a special way tonight. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So incline your ear and hear something that is critically important. That's a line in Proverbs that we've heard before. We'll hear it again. Incline your ears. Listen up. Perk up your ears. And yet I say that and I come to a topic that is frankly something that I don't like to address. It's a little awkward. It's a little uncomfortable. Yet it's very often addressed in God's word and very often addressed in Proverbs. It's not to be avoided. I have no special agenda. I didn't pick this out. This is the next topic, the next text in Proverbs. I am told that if a pastor preaches too much on one topic, some will think he has that problem. Others say if a pastor never preaches on a topic, that they're suspicious that he might have that problem and he's avoiding addressing it. I assure you that I'm simply preaching from God's word tonight and warning against something that devastates lives, devastates families. It's a sin against people. Well, first and foremost, it's a sin against God dealing with adultery. It's hard not to be blunt when dealing with issues of adultery. And adultery is something that is celebrated in many segments of our own society. Hollywood very often extols adultery. Sitcoms make it a joke. Soap operas glorify it. It's all around us in so many different ways. It has a powerful allure with many different angles. Tonight's particular angle is that of a seductress trying to allure a young man. The warning is broader, but that's the context. This is a father pleading with his son and later other sons, as it were, to listen to the dangers of being seduced. Now, how it applies to you directly tonight is something that you have to deal with. But this is so important, especially for young people. Young people, perk up your ears. I wish we had a broader audience tonight. But young people, perk up your ears. Before I come back to that, I do want to mention that what we find here is actually something about the way that all temptation works, all sin works. If you simply look at the outline, that the forbidden is seductive. Sin is seductive. That all of us have to watch out for it. And when temptation comes our way, we need to flee. Some want to relegate this whole chapter to simply that, to a general statement about sin and its temptations. But I'm convinced that this really is a father warning his son and his sons to stay away from the seductress woman very literally. But understand that it's also broader because young women need to beware. And it's really not just for the young. It's for men and women. And it doesn't stop at youth. It doesn't stop with youth. It goes on in the workplace. There's temptations in the places where you hang out, which makes you be very careful, I trust, in where you hang out and who you hang out with. But it's not just for the young. Remember that David was the aggressor at 50 years old with the incident with Bathsheba. This message is for married couples, some married couples who've been married for years and years. Certainly for singles, but it's not only for singles, but for married couples, some long-term marriages. But it's also not just for the young or the middle-aged, it's for seniors as well. I've read that some of this kind of stuff is a problem even in senior living places. I don't mean to get weird on us, but in nursing homes as well, it's pervasive. There are people that you may meet along your path of life who will try to seduce you. I can't put it any more directly. If it's too uncomfortable to think in terms of this literally, then keep it general if you must and apply it to all temptation and all sin. But tonight, we have to deal with this. The simple, I think pivotal verse is verse 8. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. I'll repeat that a number of times. But remember this always, that the forbidden is seductive. She's sweet. Remember the forbidden fruit to Eve looked like it was really good to eat. But remember how poisonous not the fruit was, but what she did was. And how Adam and Eve both partook, and we see what that brought on from that time on down to this day. But she's sweet. Did you notice that? The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. She's not hideous. Sin is unappealing. She would be unappealing. Sin is unappealing when we look at things from God's perspective and his perspective becomes our perspective. But sin is appealing. And sin looks beautiful and alluring and sweet and smooth when we appeal to our own desires and our own flesh. In our worldly ways. She's sweet. She's careless. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. Can't you picture her frivolously dancing, alluring, flippantly teasing, laughing without care in her seduction? She's careless. And she doesn't care about you. She doesn't care about her husband. She doesn't ultimately care about herself. and she certainly doesn't care about God. She's sweet and she's careless, maybe even in a winsome, alluring way, but get this, she is deadly. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol, the end. You think that you're going to taste honey. You think that it's going to be sweet. You will find out that it's deadly poison. You think that her convincing words will direct you to bliss, but it will cut you like a two-edged sword. She's deadly. Who dies? You die. You deaden your conscience. You deaden your soul. You choose your way to death. You deaden your heart to God. If you go in her way, what happened to you? Did you become an atheist all of a sudden? Did you forget that God sees, that God knows? Did you forget that you will reckon with him and that he will reckon with you? And so the first death is death really to yourself. But there's also death to numerous relationships. Death to spouses, death to children, death to those relationships, death to family members, death to friends. Your friends, if you're in an adulterous relationship, your friends honestly don't know what to say to you. They don't know what to do. They want to love you, but they don't know what to do. In the end, you will regret it. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, "How I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation." If you're involved in this, if anyone goes in this way and they don't repent, there will be deepest, deepest regret. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." So as for you, that's how bad it is. Here's the warning. As for you, keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Be wary. Know your weakness. Know the lure. Know the devil would love to entangle you. Know the desires of your heart. Know your flesh. Stay away. But there is a very positive remedy to all of this. And you will find it in verse 15 to 20. "Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress?" Let me put it in G for you. Cherish sacred, holy, sanctified relationships. Cherish holy, sacred relationships within the bounds of marriage. Charles Bridges puts it this way. He says, tender, well-regulated domestic affection is the best defense against the vagrant desires of unlawful passion. In other words, a good marriage will protect you. And if you have a bad marriage, and if you're letting your marriage go on the skids, you're setting yourself up for danger. Both parties are at risk. If you're not married, then know that your body is for yourself. If you are married, your body belongs to your spouse. If you never get married, your body will always be for yourself and God's. If you're married, your relationship and your marriage bond is God's. If you intend to get married, save yourself for marriage and know that that is the place only for intimacy. Be intoxicated with a good, wholesome relationship. Maintain a good marriage. Reserve intimacy for the person you are married to or will eventually be married to. But here it is again, because the temptation is everywhere. Flee temptation. Keep your way far from her and do not go near to the door of her house. Sin's lips will whisper in your ear, making it all sound worthwhile. Young men especially, remember Potiphar's wife and remember Joseph's explanation to her. Not only did he not want to offend his master, but he says, how then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Jesus has wisdom on this. Matthew chapter 5. If you want to turn there, verse 27. Matthew 5, 27. This has to do with lust, but there's great wisdom here, of course, from Jesus. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Now, Jesus obviously is not talking about self-mutilation. But he's saying if there are things in your life that are temptations to you and they cause you to sin, then get rid of it. And if you're going places where you shouldn't go, and if you're with people that you shouldn't be with, and you're putting yourself in situations that you shouldn't put yourself in, stop it. Paul gives wisdom on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 18. Don't dabble, don't dawdle, but flee. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. It's about your life. It's about your body and your soul. Your body and soul are far too valuable to compromise. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't say that there is grace for those who have fallen. Praise the Lord. If it weren't for grace, we'd all be damned. There's grace for those who have fallen in this very area. who maybe have given in to the seductress, or who maybe were the aggressor, or maybe they were the adulterer. But thanks be to God, there is grace for sinners like us. We seek forgiveness and we find grace. We know that there is residual damage, sadly, but there is also healing and growth. But tonight's message is about avoiding that like the plague. Avoiding that like the plague. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Let's pray. Lord our God, we never want to forget that we belong to you, body and soul, our very lives and even our death. We belong to you. That is such a great comfort to us. But it's also such a great inspiration to set ourselves aside as holy unto you in every way, including our sexuality. Lord, we are yours. And Lord, we want you to help us to stay focused on sexual purity, if we're married, marital integrity, if we're single, single-mindedness on serving you. Lord, we pray that you would protect us. Lord, that you would be with our young people as they face tremendous temptation. With our marriages, that you would protect them. With our single people, that you would uphold them. With our seniors, as temptation never goes away. Even in this area, Lord, please protect and keep. Lord, you've called us as your own people to be holy. May that apply to every area of our lives. We confess to you that in the face of temptation, we are weak. Sin is seductive. Help us to be wary. And when temptation comes our way, help us to be wise enough to flee. We come to you in the name and in the power of our Savior Jesus Christ, who himself was tempted and never sinned, but can sympathize with our plight and intercedes on our behalf even now. Our Savior. Amen.